Proverbs 3 and 5, I got a question for us today. Have you ever given up at some point in your life of trying to make right changes? Meaning, you've tried really hard. I'm going to do it best this time. I'm going to set some things in place. I'm going to guard my heart. I'm going to set boundaries. I'm going to do all of these things. I'm going to get it right this time. And then you fail. And so you just kind of give up. Have you ever been to that place? And it could be small, it could be big. See, I believe that when we are in the book of Proverbs, that there is a level of understanding. Again, I believe there's a difference between knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge is there's things that you and I know, and we know them because we've read them, because we've been told them, because we actually believe them. We believe these certain things. We know right and wrong. We know things at work. We know things at school. We know these things. But wisdom is, how do we put these things into practice? How do I set boundaries? How do I guard my heart? How do I do all of these things that I know that I need to do? And now wisdom is living this out. I think for the most part, speaking about myself, there's things that I know that I don't do, which would be Jamie living in ignorance. Why? Because I know I should be doing something and I refuse to do it, thus making life a little more difficult than it has to be. Why? Because I'm not doing those things. And Proverbs gives us a lot of wisdom into the simple things. Like when I don't listen, I suffer consequences. When I choose anxiety, it affects my body. It affects my mind. It affects when I'm a person of worry. Now all of a sudden it affects all these things. And guys, hear me. I'm not anti-medicine. But most of the time it's not medicine that we need. It's the Lord's wisdom in the situation for me just to listen. Okay? And so this is the book of Proverbs. And we start in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Where he's talking about direction. Perhaps the most quoted proverb of all the 31 chapters. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding and seek his will in all you do, and he will show you the path to take. What is this? This is direction. This is direction of God wants to show us the path, but you and I are responsible to seek him in these moments. You and I typically live a life where, God, I need to know your direction, but I'm going to live like I want. God, I want to do this, this, and this, but I also want your blessing, your favor in my life. And he's saying in this moment, we want direction from the Lord. You will receive direction from the Lord when we learn to trust the Lord with my whole heart and lean not on Jamie's understanding and in all my ways acknowledge him, and then he will direct my path. Like, this is simple to say, difficult to live out. He continues on protection. He says, and don't be impressed with your own wisdom. What is this? First two chapters, he talks about us leaning on God's wisdom. There comes a moment, maybe it's your job, maybe it's your sport, maybe it's a relationship, where you learn things and you start putting them into practice. And now all of a sudden, as you're putting them in practice, you start seeing some success, right? All of a sudden, you start putting some things into practice at work, and all of a sudden it's like, wow, I'm getting really smart in this area. He brings us back home and he says, whoa. Don't be impressed with this wisdom. Because he's letting us know, like, in this wisdom, this is also a moment for you and I to give God glory. Because this is a moment where, like, I've learned something, I've discovered something, and now people are going, like, man, you got really smart in this area. You're like, well, man, I'm kind of smart, you know. Discovering some things, and he's like bringing this back. He's like, whoa, don't be impressed with yourself in this moment. Remember where wisdom comes from. And then he says, instead, okay? So this is what I love about the Lord. The Lord in his discipline, the Lord in his correction doesn't say, stop doing that. He says, stop doing that and instead do this. This is parenting 101 from the Lord himself. He's saying, listen, stop being arrogant. And instead of being arrogant, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Then you will have healing for your body and strength for your bones. Listen, he's saying, listen, in this moment, you're feeling physically sick because of how you're living and because of this anxiety and the stuff that you're carrying on your shoulders. And it's real stuff. It's not minimal stuff. You're going through real life things. And he's saying, instead of depending on your own strength, fear the Lord. Turn away from evil. What is the evil in this moment? It's pride. He's saying, do that. And then he says, and then he gives us provision. And he says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. Then he will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow. Then he says, listen, if I ignore the things that the Lord is saying to me, there is a warning that is happening in the book of Proverbs. That he's saying, as you're listening, as you're knowing, as you're believing, there is a warning that happens when you and I ignore something over and over again. First and foremost, when you ignore the counsel of the people that you do life with, at some point that relationship will be severed. If I constantly go to someone and say, man, I need help in this area. I need your knowledge. I need your experience. And he says what it is that I need to do. And I constantly ignore and I constantly stop doing. And then I keep going back and saying, listen, I need some more help. I need to know why I'm doing this. And I keep ignoring. At some point, that relationship is going to be severed because I'm ignoring the counsel of something I'm seeking out. Let me ask this. Why do we approach God with the same mindset and think that he's any different? And I'll tell you why I do. Because I usually then come and say, like, well, it's the Lord. I can come to any point. That is a dangerous place. When I continually ignore the counsel of God, and I continually ignore what it is that he's asking me to do, I'm weakening the grace that he is extending towards me. Basically, in a sense, I'm putting my hand up and saying, I don't need this anymore. And at some point, the Lord says, okay, I've said the same things over and over again. You keep ignoring. Listen, I want to live, and the Lord wants us to live this victorious life. And there's certain things that you and I have to do. The first thing that you and I have to do in Proverbs 3 and Proverbs 4, reiterate it. I want us to see that every single week. Proverbs 1, 2, 3, and 4. We can already see this in week 2. He's saying the same things over and over to us because, this is me personally, he knows Jamie is thick-headed. My family knows. If you know me, you know. He's saying them over and over again because I'm stubborn. You know how many times he says in the first 3 chapters, fear the Lord? 3. Why? Because he understands that Proverbs 1, I didn't get it. I needed it in Proverbs 2, Proverbs 3 to get it. Proverbs 3, Proverbs 4 are saying the same things. The wording is just a little different. The first part, Proverbs 3, he's saying, first and foremost, stop. You and I are so busy that we're doing all of these different things. He's saying, take a moment and just stop. What do I do in the stop is so important. He says, stop, evaluate, recognize, do all of these things. Evaluate your life. Go top to bottom and start looking at what do I need to change? Do I take what I know and I start applying it to wisdom? He says, stop for a moment. For some of you, that's a day. Some of you, that's a week. Proverbs 27 says this, a prudent person foresees danger and takes precautions. The simpleton goes blindly on and suffers the consequences. There's consequences to where you and I don't stop and we keep moving. And now whenever I go to the next thing, which is to look, I don't see those things and I suffer the consequences. What is that? I'm not allowing myself to see what is really going on because my vision is so cloudy that I'm not seeing what I need. I'm seeing what I want. And there's a big difference. Again, you and I, we evaluate others on their actions and ourselves on our intentions. That's what we do. Well, I purposely know what I should be doing, and I'm going to evaluate that on what I should be doing, even though I'm not doing it. So we say things like, kids, you got to read your Bible. Kids, you got to pray. I've not looked at it in the last year, so do what I say, not what I do. That's what we do. We do those things because it's so much easier to give people advice than it is to look into a mirror. So he says, not only stop, he says, look at your life, evaluate, do these things. And then he says, after you've stopped, after you've looked, listen, constantly throughout the book of Proverbs, he says the word, listen. Significant? Absolutely. Even so, Proverbs 19, if you listen to advice and are willing to learn, one day you will be wise. You know what you and I have a problem with? One day is not today. Because the reality for most of us in this room, I'm not going to say everybody, we don't like process. We like now results. So when I read Proverbs 19, it says, if you listen to advice and are willing to learn, those are two big things. If I'm willing to listen, I'm willing to learn, one day you're going to be wise. One day. 15-year-old, one day. 21-year-old, one day. You're going to be wise. It might not be today. You got to start the process. What is that? That's listening and starting this process. And then he says, Proverbs 3:13, after I stop, after I look, after I listen, it's time to go. Joyful is the person who finds wisdom, the one who gains understanding. For wisdom is more profitable than silver, and her wages are better than gold. In that moment, when you find wisdom, meaning I'm no longer just knowing what to do, I'm actually doing it. What is that? You found wisdom. You're choosing wisdom now in this moment. Now you're going. Now you're doing. Now you're seeing results. Now, and it all comes back to Proverbs 3, where he says, listen, don't be pressed. Now that you've gained wisdom, what is this? It's this cycle, you guys. Because listen, reality, it's super easy to drift. It's super easy to get out of a good habit and to all of a sudden now find yourself drifting. So no matter where we are, there's got to be moments where we stop, we got to look, we got to listen, and we got to then go. There has to be these moments. This is Proverbs 3. Proverbs 4 starts off in verse 20. Seven verses, I'll read from there. It says, my child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Here we are again. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep in your heart, for they bring life to those who find them. It's a key word there. Goes back to that again, Proverbs 3. For me to find something, I need to seek something. And healing to their whole body. Verse 23 is a key one. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Some translations say the wellsprings of your life. Avoid all perverse talk. Stay away from corrupt speech. Look straight ahead. Fix your eyes on what lies before you. Mark out a straight path for your feet. Stay on the safe path. Don't get sidetracked. Keep your feet from following evil. This is what he's saying. Again, it's similar to Proverbs 3. It's almost repeating itself in a different way. John Eldridge uses this translation in his book, Wild at Heart, where he talks about Fairweather Mountain. He talks about this mountain in Alaska that is this beautiful mountain, but you can only see its beauty 20 days out of the year. 20 days is there a clear view of this mountain. And he says it's beautiful, but then his quote is this, and I love this, 20 clear days a year. That sounds about like my life. I think I see what's really going on about that often. The rest of the time, it feels like fog, like the bathroom mirror after a hot shower. You know what I mean. What exactly are you perfectly clear on these days? How about your life? Why have things gone the way they have? Where was God in all of that? And do you know what you ought to do next with a deep, settled confidence that it'll work out? Question mark. Neither do I. Oh, I love to wake each morning knowing exactly who I am and where God has taken me. But for most of us, life seems more like driving along with a dirty windshield and then turning into the sun. I sort of see, or I can sort of make out the shapes ahead, and I think the light is green. He's saying this is our life. And Proverbs 4:23 is so important that he says, above all else, guard your heart. Above all else, set boundaries. How do I do that? I recognize that my heart has value. Until I recognize, or until I stop, until I see that this heart right here has value, that who I am matters, that what God has called me to do matters, until I recognize, I'll never guard it. And because I never guard it, there's a lot of consequences that come out. There's a lot of things that are stopping the wellspring of my life, that I'm stopping the flow of what should be happening in my life, all because I'm not guarding my heart above all else. Because I'm not recognizing the value. And there's a lot of things that flow out of this heart. And because we, see, you and I in our culture, we like to identify behaviors, not the cause of those behaviors. Well, he's acting irrationally and he's hitting people. And well, let's talk about the anger issues that he has from years of abuse. Can we talk about that? Let's hit that issue and probably he'll stop hitting people. Probably the only reason he's hitting people is because he doesn't know another alternative. And so until we can come to the place where he's been hurt and he's been offended and there's roots that are there, until we can love him at that place, he'll probably always hit people. But that's what we want to talk about. Why is he hitting people? Because he's been abused. Because there's wounds that are so deep. Where is that? His heart. And what's flowing out of his heart is hurt and anger and bitterness and men who have abused. And even though it wasn't you, it's someone like you. And because it was someone like you, he's always going to treat you like that. What is that? We're not dealing with the heart. We're dealing with the abuse patterns. And instead of dealing with the abuse patterns, we should start looking at his heart. And when we start guarding and protecting and nourishing the heart, watch the behavior change. And this is the point of Proverbs 4:23. The importance of recognizing is not as important as prioritizing. See, we can stop, we can recognize, but until we prioritize, we're missing an important part. See, a lot of people in our lives, we stop and we do nothing. So we've done part of it. We've stopped, we've evaluated, but I've done nothing in the evaluation. I've done nothing in the recognizing. I've not reprioritized my life. I've not changed up anything. I've not put right things in. I've not put boundaries in place. I've not put people in place. And so all I've done is I've talked about the elephant in the room, but I've done nothing with the elephant. We've just recognized, oh, well, he's a flamingo right now. He's not an elephant. He's a flamingo. We've recognized he's here. But we're not going to do anything to change why he's here. So we're not prioritizing the things that we should be doing with the heart. We have to see this. And we're not filtering anything. I'm not recognizing, I'm not just prioritizing, I need to filter what goes into my life. This is why the writer of Hebrews says, listen, you therefore, since you have been such a large cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that entangles you or ensnares you. The weight and the sin, he's saying, listen, when you filter your life after you recognize and after prioritize, you have to filter your life from what weight and sin are holding you back from running this race effectively, because that's how he ends. He ends with, you're not running the race effectively because you've not prioritized and filtered what is happening to your heart. And because you've not done that, you're not running effectively. And now everybody around knows, you know, and we've recognized it, but we're not willing to do anything important to stop or change. And he's saying, listen, filtering is good. Paul told, again, Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, the passage I just read, he continues on in 2:24, where he's talking about how Timothy can be an instrument that God uses. And he's talking about purity and holiness. And he says, a special instrument, set apart, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. He's saying, listen, when you filter your life and you allow the right things to happen in your heart, when you allow joy and you allow freedom and forgiveness to happen in your heart, when you say things like, I'm sorry, I was wrong, I messed up, something powerful happens to your heart. Number one, it humbles you. There's nothing more humbling than saying you were wrong. Like, we recognize that. So then it's like the Lord says, we know this. We know forgiveness is powerful. So how does it translate into, like, the first thing we should probably teach our kids when they're young, and I'm not saying none of you did this, I know I didn't, is to teach them to learn to say they were wrong. You know why? Because it radically changes their heart. You and I, we're prideful people. We will always contend with pride no matter where we live. No matter what job you have, no matter who you're married to, no matter what school you go to, you will always contend with pride. Pride will always be at the forefront of what is attacking your heart, what could get inside your heart. So much that Proverbs is constantly addressing pride, constantly addressing how to live humble. So important that you and I recognize, prioritize, filter the pride that comes into our life. And that you and I have an opportunity. And this is what he's saying. You want to be a special instrument that God uses? Hebrews saying the same thing. You want to be someone that runs this race effectively? Later in Galatians chapter 5, he says, you are running this race well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? What is that? He's saying, what filter did you, how did you stop guarding your heart? What has happened to you? These are the questions he's asking. Paul's asking these honest questions to the church. You were running well. What happened? How did you stop guarding? Listen, I said this to my wife the other day, and this is by no means like, gosh, I shouldn't even. Like, I feel like as a church as whole, and some of you, you won't get this. Some of you, you're going to know what I'm saying. Some of you just flat out disagree with me. As a church as whole, I feel like, this is just me personally, I feel like we've allowed culture to change a lot of who we are as the church. Like, I remember there being things that we were so adamantly against that I feel like is now more of a allowance to our church culture today. And I've always said this, and now I feel like it's being lived out. What one generation enjoys, the next one, or what one generation allows, the next one will enjoy. I feel like there's been an allowance with the older generation that now the next generation is not only allowing it, they're enjoying it. It's dangerous. It's dangerous. I'm not even going to get specific on those things. I know we're all in this room raised a little differently, okay? But I feel like there is this leniency. And I think a lot of the leniency has been to be welcoming and inviting. But there's a danger. There's a danger to complacency. There's a danger to not speaking the truth. There's a danger to not talking about what the Word of God says and sharing my opinion instead of the Word of God. There's a danger in all, and there's a danger to tolerance. Very big danger to it. It's dangerous. And I think part of it is, not to stay on a soapbox, because I didn't share this with 9 a.m., but I think part of it is we're so afraid of offending people. Why? Because I want you to like me. So I'm not going to say hard things to you because I want you to like me. Honestly, can I say this? I'm going to anyway, but I feel like God's heart is broken over some things because we've allowed them. And I feel like we've even said like, well, let's establish some relationships and let's get to know people before we start offending them or speaking the truth. Let me say this. Truth and facts are different. Like, we need to be people that seek the truth, because Jesus didn't say, I'm the way, the facts, the life. Facts of life. You take the good, you take the bad. Take them both and there you have. But anyway, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. There's a difference. You know what the difference between truth and facts is? Truth, is not always going to be easy to live out. Some of the hardest things that Jesus said that are truth are very difficult to live out. I don't read the Bible and go, that'll be easy. I read the Bible and go, this thing's going to be difficult to live out. This is going to, I got to be very intentional to filter my life. I have to be very intentional to guard my heart. I have to be very intentional to sit down and to recognize that I have issues and it's not everybody else. It's actually me. Like, it takes a lot of being intentional to go, God, I want to live in your truth. And because I want to live in your truth, I have to recognize that there are things that are happening in my life that I have to prioritize, that I have to say no to, even though you get to say yes to them. Hear what I'm saying? You have to say no to good things because of moments of saying yes to God things. And that may not make sense culturally. And it's not about right or wrong. It's about what God has called you to do. Daniel in his life said, I know that God says that I must fast these things. And in fasting these things, God will show up and do special things. It didn't say that Daniel stood up in front of everybody and said, you all should fast like me so you can be special. He didn't say those things. He just knew what God called him to do. And when you're secure and you know who God is, you don't mind doing those things, even though everybody around you may not agree with you. Timothy was told by Paul to be set apart. That means that culture will always try to make you a certain way, but to be set apart is to say no to good things so God could do great things in you. Listen, there will always be people that don't understand. And this is where we find out if I'm living in ignorance or wisdom. Because if I'm living in wisdom, I don't need you to understand. I know it's what God's asked me to do, and I'm going to do it. When I'm living in ignorance, I want everybody's opinion. Okay? Again, there's a difference between getting everyone's opinion and seeking counsel. All right? So he's saying, listen, above all, guard your heart. Basketball players in this room, you know what it's like when I guard, when I don't guard. Right? We know what it's like when I'm guarding and when I'm not. And he's saying, above all else, here's what I'm asking you to do. Guard your heart. Live this thing out. Above all else, guard your heart. So that's my question that we end on today. This Mother's Day 2019, how are you doing at guarding your heart? How are you doing? Is it a priority? Is it a focus? Are you being intentional when it comes to what you're allowing that comes inside your heart? Because again, out of it will flow the direction of your life. Maybe you're here today and you say, you know what? I'm an angry person. I don't know why. I respond in anger. It's because your heart's angry today. Your heart is angry. I'm offended so easy. Well, it's because your heart is angry today. Hurt people hurt people. You know what I like to do? I know I'm hurt. I know I'm offended. I know I'm angry. I'm going to slap on a smile and make everybody think I'm good. Man, I'm going to deceive everybody. Nope. That'll only last a while. Someone's going to tick you off. And the real you is going to come out. How is your heart today? Would you pray with me today? God, thank you for every person that's in this room. God, if they're this place where life is so crazy and chaotic that they just need to stop today, evaluate, recognize. God, I pray that you'd open our eyes to see. God, we're prioritizing what we see, how we're looking. And God, we want to see what you have for us to see today. God, if there's sin, if there's weights that are holding us back, that we can't run this race effectively, God, I pray that you would help us to see those by looking. God, if we're in this room and our ears are deaf to your word, our ears are deaf to the counsel around us, God, would you help us to be good listeners? Help us to be men and women that listen well. But God, I pray that we are men and women that not only listen, but we're men and women that go, that live out the truth. We are men and women that take this knowledge, that take this knowing Christ, and we apply it by living it out and going. God, I pray for the person in this room that needs to be warned or is just listening and doing nothing with it. God, I pray that you would help us in this dangerous place of constantly tuning you out. So much that your word says, tune your ears to the things of the Lord. God, I pray that we are awakened to the things that are happening around us and what it is that you're saying. God, I pray as we dive into Proverbs 3 and 4, that words would come alive. That words would just come off the pages. God, it would be such an influx of information and knowledge. God, that we would grow in understanding. God, this is our prayer today. That this would not be a summer where we take off, not be a summer where we drift away, not be a summer where we just coast into the fall, but this would be a summer of growth, a summer of knowing and living out the things that you've called us to do everywhere that we go. God, help us to be that today. In the name of Jesus. Greetings, say amen today. Would you stand with me as we sing this verse?
So I